Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready, because my name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies. I'm your host today, and thank you folks for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism Radio brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. From CEOs to small business owners to mentors to policymakers, Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. At the root, Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life while prioritizing your time. The roots of capitalism right here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with Charles Olson about the uptick and refracs happening in the Bakken. They've got some great success out there. Of course, the oil and gas industry, the mining industry, the only industry in the United States that's a job adder over the past decade. The only industry that's added net jobs over the last decade is the oil and gas industry, and they're having some great success with refracs out in the Bakken oil field. And then we talk with Jason Wall, interim director for the Division of Medical Marijuana. He gives an update on the timelines that is anticipated for the medical marijuana that was voter approved, and we break down the timeline to find out when people can actually start investing and start growing and start dispensing medical marijuana in the state of North Dakota. And then it's off to the ranch, the Bison Ranch, more specifically. Kevin Lear, co-owner of Heartland Bison Ranch, talks about the roller coaster ride of the bison industry, the ups and the downs and the meat prices and the inventory, everything. Great interview with Kevin Lear with the Heartland Bison Ranch and the North Dakota Buffalo Association. And the author of The Pirates of Wall Street, Barry James Dyke. I think The Pirates of Wall Street sums up the theme of that interview. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Charles Olson, completion specialist with Whiting Petroleum.
My name is Charles Olson. I'm with Whiting Petroleum, and I'm the completions manager for the Northern Rockies asset, which covers the Williston Basin.
And we're here today talking about refracs, kind of stemming off of the Western Dakota Energy Association annual meeting, and honestly, the Petroleum Council's annual meeting, and a lot of annual meetings in the Bakken are talking about the refrac procedure. In fact, I'd almost want to call 2017 the year of the refrac, it seems, because it seems to have been the driving force behind the Bakken. Talk to me about your guys' role at the refracts and your presentation, if you would, please, at the annual meetings.
Sure. So first and foremost, we did participate in the 2016 North Dakota Petroleum Conference annual meeting in Minot. And we gave our initial talk on refracts up there. And then most recently, we gave a presentation for the Western Dakota Energy Association here just last week. And that was also on refracts. It was a little more abbreviated as we were participating with a couple other folks, Marathon and a representative from the EERC on refracts and enhanced oil recovery in general.
And how would you call that panel? Because, you know, a few years ago, we weren't hearing much about the refracts. And then you're right, around last year, the annual meeting, we kind of heard a little bit about it. And then this year, as much as a panel where you've got the ERC, Marathon, yourself, and Justin Kringstead moderating the panel. So just kind of, what was your impression, whether from Whiting's perspective or looking at the overall industry over the past year, just kind of the trend when it comes to refracts?
Sure. There's been an uptick in the interest in refracts in the Williston Basin, other basins as well, but the Williston Basin in particular, there have been several companies, Whiting, although we've not done a bunch of them yet, we've taken a fairly measured approach on our candidate selection, and we're cautiously dipping our toe into the water. We think there's a bright future with refracts, but we understand that we need to proceed cautiously as we go back to these others. Marathon in particular has had some, you know, several very successful refracts and reworkings of older wells. And the primary driver behind this has been in the last 11 years or so, just the technology revolution when it comes to drilling and completing horizontal wells, not only in the Bakken, but other areas. And, you know, we recognize that those early efforts lacked because those technologies simply weren't available at the time. So although those wells, if left alone, might recover less, we see them as an opportunity now to apply refracts and get more out of those wells, you know, with what we know now.
As the technology advances, you're going to see more of these refracts happen because that's kind of the longevity of the play. Am I kind of reading these tea leaves right?
You know, those are interesting comments, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Certainly, the percentages you threw out kind of ring a bell in terms of accuracy. I won't comment on them so much as I will just the general philosophy is, you know, again, we're through fracking technology, we're seeing better and better results on newly completed wells, and we've recognized that we can go back to these older wells.
To listen to the full-length interview with Charles Olson, completion specialist with Whiting Petroleum, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, we talk with Jason Wall, Interim Director for the Division of Medical Marijuana in North Dakota. What's been going on primarily since the election last year is that the rules have been getting established in terms of with the Attorney General and the Health Department, kind of some ironing out. Am I following these timelines right?
Yes. Since the legislature passed the current version of the Century Code dealing with the medical marijuana program, that would have been effective on April 18th of 2017. And since that time, the Division of Medical Marijuana has been working on hiring program personnel. Kenneth Bollinger was the only individual within the division at the time that the law became effective. So two individuals were hired starting June 1st. In that time, there has been a lot of time spent answering questions from a variety of different individuals, and then also working on drafting the proposed rules that will be used to help implement the program.
So let's talk about those rules, if we can, for a moment here. There's a lot of confusion about what's going on with the medical marijuana program, from Measure 5 to the redefinition and the re-legislation of SB 2344, I think. I'm going off the top of my head, so I apologize if that's off. But it was rewritten, and then now we've got some new rules in there to where last year they were talking about there would be medicine available by next summer, and that was last year. Now that the kind of the soundbite of the headline or the quick thing to say is that we're still a year away, and now that we're in November, what are the timelines now as you see them going forward?
As we move forward to have the program implemented, the first timeline I would talk about is getting an effective date and having the administrative rules approved. Within the state of North Dakota, there is a process for establishing administrative rules, which requires publishing in all the county newspapers across the state a notice in regards to hearings. The hearings are scheduled for in December to be held in six locations across the state. We will obviously hold those hearings to solicit input from the public. That is the time when the public can provide oral comments, and at any time between now and December 26th, the public is welcome to submit written comments to us either through regular mail or through the Division of Medical Marijuana email. Those comments then we will fully consider that are received. We will attempt to get all information filed with the Office of Attorney General at the beginning of January, in hopes of filing the required information by February 1st with Legislative Council. Those timelines are set up in order for us to be able to be on the March 2018 Administrative Rules Committee meeting. The Legislative Administrative Rules Committee is the committee that is authorized and has the power to approve administrative rules. If they were to approve in March, at their meeting, then the effective date of the laws would be April 1. Until those rules are approved and effective, right now the department is not moving forward with open application periods due to the fact that we don't have administrative rules that are effective. So it would be hard for applicants to submit information when these rules are not effective yet. So following that timeline, after April 1, we will have an open application period for manufacturing facilities. That would be followed by an open application period for the dispensaries. And then we would be looking at, once we have a better idea and discussing with the two manufacturing facilities that are eligible to register, when they believe product will be available to be purchased by qualifying patients and designated caregivers. When we kind of have an idea more on that timeline, then we'll know when we can start accepting applications from qualifying patients. Right now, our best estimate is we're looking at usable marijuana being available to be purchased about 11 to 13 months from now.
That's the best estimate based on if everything goes okay. I guess as I was listening to explain that, I was a little bit taken back because even with the best estimate, from what I'm hearing, it still might be 6-8 months of public opinion and back and forth and possible rewrites before even the applications could go forward. Is that something that could happen or not?
With the hearings that we have for the administrative rules and the way the process works with administrative rules, we will fully consider comments that we receive on the rules that may lead to revisions of these proposed rules. If that were to occur, we would make the revisions prior to submitting it to the Office of the Attorney General for review. So when it goes to the Administrative Rules Committee for their review and potential approval, we will have what any revisions at that point in time to the current proposed rules, they'll be updated and available for them to review to possibly approve.
What you just said, how long does that cycle generally take?
The Administrative Rules Committee does only meet quarterly. So we did the best we could to make their March meeting and the deadlines imposed with that. Their next meeting then isn't until June. So we believe we will make the filing deadlines in order to make the March meeting, and then it's the Legislative Administrative Rules Committee decision in regards to approving those rules.
So if I'm hearing you right, you guys are going, when does that tour of the state start?
We'll have public hearings in 6 locations around the state. Those public hearings for us to obtain oral comments on the rules will start on December 11th.
Okay.
And run through December 14th.
Okay, that's where I got messed up then. Okay, so then at that point, you'll be able to take those comments to the March meeting, and that will see what happens from there. What was that April timeline I saw? Was that applications? Was that right?
Yes. In March, if the Administrative Rules Committee were to approve the proposed rules, they would have an effective date of April 1st. Then the department would have a very quick turnaround time to open an application period for the manufacturing facilities.
Okay, so public hearing in December. March is when the state meets, and then April is when they can take applications if everything goes approved. Now, let's say if it doesn't go approved, we're looking at June for the next meeting from the state for this to be approved. Am I following this right?
Correct. If the rules were not approved at the March meeting, the next meeting for that Legislative Administrative Rules Committee would be in June.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jason Wall, Interim Director for the Division of Medical Marijuana, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Well, it's nice to have something fun I can stand on. Well, the warm wind blows the grass between my toes, and I'm wearing my pencil down. Writing you letters from August until September.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
He is a person in this market and now in markets across the country with Hatch Coaching that is revolutionizing the way people approach the business. He's reinventing the way people look at the people model. That's why he brings in hundreds of people from all over the country who are trying to figure out how to do what he's doing in their market.
For more information, call 701-212-1572. Or visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
When it's time.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Kevin Lear, president of the North Dakota Buffalo Association and co-owner of Heartland Bison Ranch.
Back to the ways of John and June, Ram and Lou.
Yeah, my name's Kevin Lear. I'm the executive director of the North Dakota Buffalo Association and then co-operator at Heartland Bison Ranch in Rugby, North Dakota.
Bison and buffalo, let's talk about that a little bit. Now, first of all, there is a difference between the two, isn't there?
Well, there is. I mean, in technical terms, there is a difference between bison and buffalo. You know, typically, a buffalo would be like a water buffalo you're going to find in Africa. And then bison is what the actual name is for the North American bison that you find on the Great Plains and up into Canada in North America. So right now in the industry, it's gone on so long where it's basically an interchangeable word where you'll see bison and buffalo and basically people think it's the same thing. So the technical term is bison, but most people know what you're talking about when you say buffalo too.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Now, you mentioned you're a co-operator or a owner at the Heartland Bison Ranch, is that right?
Yep, Heartland Bison Ranch, yep, right in kind of like north central North Dakota, right over by Rugby. So yeah, we've been, for our ranch, we've been raising bison since 1996. So we got into it when things, in terms of agriculture, in 96, 97, 98, bison market was looking really good. And I think it was just a little bit before its time because by the late 1990s and specifically into the early 2000s, the market took a pretty big hit and came down drastically. And when that happened, there was a number of ranchers in North Dakota who, you know, the economics of the ranching bison just wasn't working for them anymore, so they had to shift gears. And at that same time, cattle prices were coming back up, commodity prices were coming back up, and so we saw a lot of guys shift away from raising bison to going back to more traditional agricultural outputs that were a little more economical for them. But now, you know, fast forward to today, The market's basically right now, we can say that the market is in the strongest position it's ever been in, you know, in modern history for the Bison industry.
I guess I'm curious about the market because, you know, the Bison is not anywhere near ground beef, of course. And when you think of Bison, you know, you go to the grocery store, there's maybe one or two tubes of it, if you can find it, and it's generally in a freezer aisle, you know. And so when I think of Bison, I think of, obviously the health food stores and some of the higher-end restaurants. Is there a kind of a national type of a Bison place where it all goes to, or do you got to send it all over the different places, the different restaurants and different after it goes to the slaughterhouse?
Yeah, so there's a number of slaughterhouses that specifically are geared towards Bison. There's one right here in North Dakota, actually. It's the North American Bison Cooperative, which is in New Rockford, North Dakota, and they're 100% Bison processing facility. And so, you know, they hit national supply chains with their product after it's been, you know, fabricated to an actual end product for consumption. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to find it in retail grocery stores, depending on where you go. I mean, there are Bison products from Kroger's. Walmart used to carry it, but I actually think Walmart might not be carrying it anymore because of they just couldn't get enough of the supply. And that's the number one thing that as an industry we're looking at right now is how do we grow the herd to be able to fill up the supply, because our demand for the product is just through the roof, and that's what's keeping the price relatively pretty high when you go to a grocery store. I think sometimes people get sticker shock when they look at that, but then, you know, you think, well, why haven't we really hit that ceiling yet in terms of our price point? Why haven't things started to level off? And what we're seeing on our side of the industry is it's basically the healthiest red meat you can eat on the planet. When you look at what it has for, you know, good fats versus bad fats, you're talking iron content, omega-3s, just the protein source in general, it's super good for you. And so when you look at people and dietary consumption of red meat and how they're switching up diet for this new kind of health conscious generation of Americans, what we're seeing for a consumer trend is people maybe are eating a little bit less red protein, but in terms of eating a little bit less, they're willing to pay a little bit more for a higher quality of a product. But just to give you an idea, you know, kind of, I've had this conversation with people before, and they say, well, you guys are going to be in competition with the beef market. And what I say to that is, nope, I don't think we'll ever be in competition with the beef market, because when you look at what the beef market does in the United States, in one day, the beef market in the United States will process twice as many cattle as the bison industry will do under USDA federal inspection in a year. Right now, we're processing about 60 to 61,000 head of bison under USDA inspection in a year versus, you know, 105, 110, depending on the day, for beef cattle in the United States. So the difference in scale for both industries is completely different. So we're a niche market for sure in the protein sector. And what we found is there's a lot of people who really like the product that's coming out from the bison industry, and that's keeping our demand incredibly high. So one of the things that we do, like on the national level, because our industry is relatively small, you can kind of get a pretty good pulse on what's going on. And when they survey, like, our commercial meat marketers, like our big meat processors for our industry, which would be North Dakota's processing facility, there's a big processor down in Brush, Colorado, Rocky Mountain Natural Meats. There's another one, Rapid City, Western Buffalo Company. When they start surveying those guys, they do it twice a year from the National Association, and they survey them and ask them, you know, based on what you're getting for supply.
To listen to the full-length interview with Kevin Lear with the North Dakota Buffalo Association and the Heartland Bison Ranch, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at crudelife.com/thecrudelife. Facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Time to get back to our hearts. stayed true. Back to the ways of John and June, grabbing them and Lou. Where you build a bridge and I'll hammer on the harmony. After the hard week's work, we'll need a mighty fine melody.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
All the lonesome souls go. Who wrote their songs in living? And now it's our souls left. For the giving, we already know how it's done. Let's put our lives on hold and run, dodging the clouds and heading for the sun.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Barry James Dyke, financial expert, author, and media personality.
Hey, Mockingbird, Mockingbird.
Hi, I'm Barry James Dyke, also known as the Economic Warrior, and I've written a book, numerous books about how do people retire in the United States.
So let me ask you a little bit about that. What kind of response are you getting? I imagine it's It's pretty diverse. You got some people that are supporting you, and then you got some people that are probably questioning you, but...
Well, the general public is so stressed out. Most people are, you know, just having a hard time making ends meet. And the thing is that most, they don't have the time to understand what's really going on. You know, I'm just very passionate about it. The general reaction to the post, it's one of disbelief. And then when people start, when I tell people to pull out the dollars in their wallets, and they, everyone thinks the dollars, I said they're not dollars, they're actually Federal Reserve notes. And when they pull out a dollar, a $5, or a $10 bill, or $1 bill, and I show them that's a Federal Reserve note, people pay attention. And this is a control of the money supply has been a saga as old as this country itself. And sound money has always been the basis of success of any country. And so a lot of it has really been truly manipulated. So I just, people can figure this out for themselves, but I'm just gifted and I know where to go and research this stuff.
The thing that I've always found interesting when it comes to the Federal Reserve is, you know, you're right, it's federal, and those are promissory notes. Those $10 bills, those $20 bills is pretty much just a promissory note at the end of the day. The thing that I found very interesting is much like a lot of the other government programs, you know, you take a look at the war on homelessness, over $1 trillion spent on that, and problems are worse than ever. The war on drugs. It seems like whenever something along these lines start to happen, things just kind of get out of control, and we don't seem to combat these problems. I think of this along the same way when we look at what the Federal Reserve has done. Our consumer debt seems to be higher than ever a little bit.
Well, it's at an all-time high, and because people, when you don't have people that are not making good incomes, what do you give them? The population, give them debt. So, regrettably, the student loan debt, this is according to the Federal Reserve, not me, is over $1.4 trillion right now. Now, you got to understand that student loan debt was only around a half of $1 trillion during right around when Obama became president. So, the thing is, so in the past, in a period of about 10 years, it's gone from $500 billion to roughly $1.4 trillion. The same thing is true with credit cards, or over the $1 trillion mark, and also the credit card student loans and mortgages. So it's just debt's at an all time high, and anyone understands debt is that when you saddle too much debt on any business or corporation or a family for that matter, they eventually collapse. And there's no better example of that this week than the collapse of Toys R Us, which is out of Edison, New Jersey, but the largest toy retailer in the world. I don't know if you have one on there, and you're in Bismarck, but it is the largest toy retailer in the world, and it collapsed essentially because of too much debt. And so this is the problems of debt, and this is, but a lot of people don't understand that, why the company collapsed, but I do, and it's, if you Google it, you'll see that they had over $5.5 billion in debt.
To listen to the full-length interview with Barry James Dyke, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out online at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Of course, you can join our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Shining with the mocky sound. A frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Riding up the smile face with all the people passing by. It's the Broadway shining with the mocky sound. A frozen cobblestone reflects the night. Small city, it's a big time life. And I'm walking, I'm talking.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Car's dead, the engine's froze. I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too.
too far away. Well, the moonlight shining on my walk home. I'm breathing in cold, they're exhaling smoke. So quiet, I can hear it all. And I'm walking out.
If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
People that I know. Thinking I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Oh, my car starts when I go.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quicker. Jack will not jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.